Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
And welcome again to Movies Hate You, a show about love and movies. Do we love movies? Do they love us? They certainly don't love us. They hate us. But we love them anyway. I start every show giving Todd Sheets his due as a filmmaker and producer. And this episode, I'd like to talk to you about Bimbos in Time. What can you tell me about this movie?
Well, I didn't really direct much of that movie. It's everyone thought I did. I did produce it. I wrote it. I directed some scenes, but at the time I had a gentleman named Mike Hellman working with me, and he directed, I'd say, about 55% of that movie. Just like what people don't understand is the first two Bimbo movies were collaborative. Like, I was actually in a couple of scenes, and I didn't direct a whole lot of those. I directed maybe a third of the second one, maybe 50% at the very most, but probably closer to a third. And the first one was kind of a collaborative effort. We were all just having fun. Never thinking that anyone would really enjoy those movies. And the third one came about, and I was prepping for Zombie Bloodbath, but at the time it was the Great Flood of 93 here in the Midwest, where buildings were completely underwater. I'm talking five-story buildings, and had to take boats to get to the set, and it was just a mess, and rained every single day like Noah's Ark, man. It was unbelievable for like 6-8 months, something like that, every single day. So I had my work cut out for me with getting Zombie Bloodbath ready and even trying to finish that and get it ready to go. And so Mike Hellman stepped in. He was kind of directing it. And there's a couple other guys, Andrew Apple, and a couple guys came in, and they kind of directed Bimbos in Time for me as we were going. And I really wish they would get the credit. So it's kind of frustrating whenever you see that and you're like, well,
yeah, you're credited. Yeah, I see. Even on Amazon, you're credited.
Right.
What's the situation with that? Do you have the rights to that? Is it out on DVD? Can people see it?
It is not out. I do have a copy somewhere, and I do own the rights.
And there are three? It's a trilogy?
Yeah. And
what are the other two? Now you've stumped me.
Well, the other two, Bimbos BC, was originally called Prehistoric Bimbos in Armageddon City, but Dave DiCoto changed the name to Bimbos BC, so we followed it up with a sequel, which was then called Prehistoric Bimbos in Armageddon City, followed by Bimbos in Time. And if you're confused, so am I. I'm confused why I ever made it, to be honest. But
this one I want to see, man. I want a VHS.
You'll never talk to me again.
No, that's not true. I've seen a bunch of your movies, man.
You'll be like, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
I mean, I must say I'm a fan of your horror work, but I don't think I've seen anything non-horror that you've done.
Yeah, I did it. You know, I did another one too that I really was kind of more proud of, and the other one I did was the this one called Say It Again, and it was kind of a comedy action drama, which was weird. And I've got that. I've never edited it. I've got all the raw footage, and I did a rough cut edit, and that's as far as I ever got, because I kind of thought, I kind of got discouraged, because everyone I talked to didn't want to buy it. They said, Todd,
where are the zombies?
We're not going to be able to sell this movie. So I thought, okay, well, I guess, and during that time, this was kind of like the beginning of the sales on the internet thing going on, and Amazon wasn't huge like it is now, and I was like, you know what, no one's going to buy this movie, what am I going to do? I've invested all this time and money, got a good script, got some great actors, And it's going to fall on its face because there was no name stars. And they said, you can't make a comedy or a drama without a name star to carry it. We just can't do anything with it. So the next movie I made, I just made sure to do evil things and have some lady sit on a toilet and get her guts pulled out of her rectum. I was like, there you go. Sell that.
I would say, do Say It Again, edit it, put it together, and to just retitle it to like Zombie Bloodbath the Beginning or something. just leave it, no zombies, you know. Just
people would be pissed.
I don't know. I mean, it's all, you know, it's all your perception of what a zombie bloodbath means, you know. To some people, it's an actual zombie bloodbath. To others, it could be an emotional zombie bloodbath.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's got some really neat stuff in it, and it would be a great little movie. So I don't know, maybe one day I'll edit it. I've got to find all the tapes and everything now, you know, it's been so many years. Maybe someday.
Yeah, I want to know. You fascinate me because it's like you have a lot of projects out there that, you know, are not complete or, you know, that are here and there, and it'd be great to just I'd like to see like a full interview article with you and a filmography and really get the whole, you know, I don't want to say a book. I'm not saying a book, but I'm saying like, you know, really somebody to kind of do the academics on you as a filmmaker. You know, and I think that time will come. I just think it's a matter of, I think movies are still aging from when you were making them. I think the VHS shot on video resurgence of interest from fans, the kind of rabid collecting that's going on with films of that era, and that's something we'll get to later on tonight with our guest. We'll dedicate this whole episode to VHS tapes.
Well, there you go.
What do you have VHS wise? Do you collect VHS tapes? Do you still have your old ones?
I meant to find them. I've been trying to. I've just got them. You know, I've kind of boxed them up and put them away, and you only got so much room. And man, I've been trying to kind of get to them so I could dig some of those out because I know I've got a ton. Man, I had like 3,500 or more VHS tapes at one time, you know, because of like Movies at Home and these mom and pop chains were getting bought by Blockbuster. And here's a story. Movies at Home didn't want to sell. They said no, so Blockbuster bought the property. And so we can keep it, just move the building.
Ugh.
That's the kind of stuff that was going on back then. And so they basically sold out, but they were selling these movies for, you know, $2 and $3 a piece. So I was picking them up by the bagfuls.
So Movies at Home, that was the name of the chain.
Oh man, what a cool chain.
We didn't have that here.
Dude, if you couldn't find it in there, it didn't exist.
We had Palmer Video was the big chain here, in New Jersey at least.
Yeah, I feel like.
What kind of stuff did you get? Were you buying the big box stuff, the clamshells?
I got a lot of that. I still got like the Herschel Gordon Lewis stuff, big box, the Italian horror stuff, some of the Jess Franco stuff, like Gourmet Zombie Chef from Hell.
Oh yeah,
that's why. The stuff why do I have
collecting.
It?
People are collecting that stuff and they're paying big dollars for it too, Todd. If you ever wanted to finance a film, you find those 3,500 tapes. I guarantee you, make 3 or 4 films selling that stuff. Yeah, tapes are going as high as $600-$700. You know, these old mogul tapes that, you know, we passed over 50 times. Stuff we didn't want to watch back then, people were paying big money for it.
Well, some of that stuff we still don't want to watch now. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but, you know, the one I regret that I can't find is Gok, Body Snatcher from Hell. I picked that one up in a big box, and I just can't find it anywhere right now.
Oh, wow. Wow. I remember that.
It's a great one. You know, it was a Chinese film, and the guy's heads were splitting open. It might have been Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
It was Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wow. You know, that excites me, though, to know that there's somewhere, there's this hidden treasure, and how many other people have done the same thing, and we're going to be constantly rediscovering these films. But you said earlier, who wants to watch them? And I agree with you to a certain point. Somebody paid $600-something dollars for Tales from the Quad Dead Zone. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It was the second film by Chester Turner, who directed one of everyone's favorite shot on video cluster Fs, Black Devil Doll. Have you seen that, Todd?
Yes, I have it.
Okay. So do you have Tales of the Quad Dead Zone, the follow-up, the sequel?
No. I ran screaming into the night.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's the thing. The movie is so terrible. It doesn't have any of the charm wonder or jaw-dropping moments that Black Devil Doll has, but still, it's one of the rarest tapes in existence. You know, so people will pay money for it. It's a double-edged sword because, on one hand, you know, guys who go around collecting VHS are now, you know, there's something tainted a little bit about the whole collecting scene. But I like to look at the positive of the whole situation is that we are rediscovering films that were really literally thrown in the garbage and forgotten about. No one gave a damn about that movie. Now somebody does. And somebody else will rediscover it because of that. Just hearing about it, they'll say, well, what is that movie? And then somebody will see it, and I'm sure it has its fans. I think it's pales in comparison to the original, but what doesn't? But, I mean, not to the original, but to Black Devil Doll.
Yeah, that's a nutty movie. You know, I kind of like – it kind of reminds me of Donald Jackson because I like his movies, and I had the privilege of being friends with Donald Jackson before he passed away. And, you know, he did crazy stuff like, you know, Hell Comes to Frog Town and Rollerblade Warriors. But he also did that Rollerblade 7, which I found to be completely incomprehensible. I could not understand what the hell – he called it a sequel, but he also called it a train of thought masterpiece thing. It didn't really make sense. And I'm going, he made it with Julie Strain, and I had no idea what the hell I was watching. And I love Don, and I'm not going to speak bad of the deceased because I really love the guy, but my God, man, you talk about eccentric. That movie was like, wow, they were just running around with the camera and just throwing stuff together. It didn't even matter if it made sense or not.
I mean, how can you not like a movie with Frank Stallone and Joe Estevez in it, though?
That's it.
That's like that I don't know if it now, but that was you know, a $200-$400 tape at one time.
That's funny.
It was hard to find. Yeah, I mean it there's no rhyme or reason to it. I mean it's funny because it's kind of like you know, figuring out as you go along. The VHS resurgence or industry now is just at the seed stages, just the beginning stages of something really big happening. I don't know what that is, and I've been lucky enough to be involved in some VHS only shows in Brooklyn at a theater called the Nighthawk Cinema. I have an old friend named John Woods. He's a programmer there at the Nighthawk, which just opened like 2 months ago, and immediately right before they opened, he brought me in. He says, you know, I want to do something different. I want to do something with VHS, with the stuff we love, this stuff. You know, he owned a chain of video stores, so he probably had a VHS collection to match yours. He put them in the theater. He has a wall. He has the VHS vault in the theater.
Wow. With
people leaving, like, you know, it's basically an art house, an independent art house. So people leaving the latest Woody Allen film have to pass by, you know, like the Make Them Die Slowly big box. I mean, they're forced to interact with this VHS collection, almost like don't forget, you know, like this is part of it. This is part of the history. This is part of the roots. This is part, you know, this is part of the chain of where you are today. And it's a theater where you can get beer and you can have a beer and watch a movie. You can get dinner, a gourmet dinner brought to you. It's not French fries and cardboard pizza like at the, you know, the local Lowe's. I mean, you can get, you know, homemade beef jerky and stuff like that. You know, I mean, it's a really cool experience. You know, it's definitely a New York, Williamsburg, Brooklyn, I want to say hipster, but it has that, you know, it is a yuppie/hipster feeling to it, but yet they're doing a cool thing, you know, and these shows we're doing every month with VHS bringing people out like crazy. And I want to bring on my friend Matt, who is he is part of a group called Horror Boobs, and I want him to tell you about what he does, and we'll talk about the shows we're doing and the whole VHS thing. And I want to talk about your VHS. I want to see if he has any of your VHS in his collection.
God, the poor guy.
No, I didn't know if he watched them, but he might have them. Your stuff's collectible, man. Your stuff is collectible. You have to face it.
Geez, it's really collectible if you've recorded episodes of Married with Children over it.
That's the only way. I have a copy of Goblin here, but I have 60 Minutes taped over it. Sorry, Todd.
There you go.
Will you sign it anyway? See, next time I see you, I'm gonna have you sign a VHS. I'm gonna dig something out of the vaults.
Be like, thank you for recording something better on this.
Should we give Matt a call?
Let's
and
do
see
it.
If
Let's do it. We're calling him right now. He's
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, is this Matt?
That it is.
Oh, Matt, hi. This is the Chinese delivery.
You're late.
Oh.
No, I ordered hours ago. What took you so long?
Actually, you've been punked. This is the Movies Hate You show, and I'm Rob Hauschild. You might know me from the VHS shows we do together at the Nighthawk Cinema.
Never heard of it.
Okay, good. Matt, can you say your last name for me? I realize we've been hanging out for like 4 months, and I've never pronounced your last name, and it's like a long Italian weird name.
You know, that's funny because I avoid saying your name in all the events because I don't know how your name is pronounced either.
Isn't that weird? Like, I call you Matt, you call me Rob. It's like we're afraid of our last names. My last name is pronounced Hauschild, even though it looks like Hauschild. You could say Hauschild, but Hauschild is the way
it's pronounced. Hauschild. I would have never gotten it.
Well, if you were German, you would say Hauschild. You know, you would say it. Yeah, the German way.
But
we're not in Germany. No, and we're not in Germany. I don't want it that way.
You're German?
Yeah, half.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What you did to my people. Anyway, it's Desiderio.
Desiderio. I thought it was, but, you know, I just wanted to be safe and say Desiderio.
Yeah, a lot of vowels in that name.
Well, you are live on Movies Hate You. Thank you for coming on. It's we're sponsored by bmovie.com. Have you ever heard of bmovie.com, Matt?
I have.
Oh, good. Good. That's all I need to know. I'm done.
I can elaborate, you know, but I don't think you want me to.
Oh, did you happen to get their new release, The Teacher, on DVD, or maybe a Serbian film? Did you pick up that one yet?
Were they released on VHS?
No.
Well, then I definitely didn't get them.
Oh, see, good. And you know what? Todd and I just had a nice... Todd Sheets is on the phone with us. He's a producer of the show, and he's also a shot-on-video legend. He's been making films for the last 20 years, Todd. Would you say 20 years? I always say 20 years.
I don't even agree with the word legend at this point.
Ah, come on. I'm calling you a legend.
I've heard of.
Yeah, well, nobody knows me. And I like it that way. I'm kind of the catalyst to put you got kind of guys up together.
Hi there.
What's happening?
Oh, man. You know, hanging with Rob.
I made a $20 bet with Todd that you would have at least one of his films in your VHS collection.
That I would what?
You would have at least one of his movies in your VHS collection.
I'm almost 100% positive, and I don't even have to look.
You came in right after a talk about Rollerblade 7. That's not one of his films that we were just talking about. Okay, so do you have The Shivers on VHS?
Yeah.
You
I'm
do?
I'm pretty sure I do.
How about Violent?
I think you got me on the first... I think you got me on the first one.
Oh, wow.
So you won.
You say you think. Dead Things. That's a famous...
Dead Things is a no.
Oh, Goblin.
You get 20 per tape?
Goblin,
no.
Violent New Breed?
Lucky Bastard.
Mm.
I don't have that either, actually.
Here's one I have, and I cherish it. Zombie Rampage?
That I'm pretty sure I have.
With the split open zombie face on the cover?
Oh, a zombie movie with a zombie face? I may have that.
No, it's a split open zombie face on the cover.
Oh.
It's like split down the middle, like, you know, kind of looks like an axe.
I don't think I have that then.
Or maybe it's awful.
I don't know. Rob, I have thousands of tapes, dude.
Yeah, but you have to know your own stuff, man. You have to know your collection, because what's going to happen is somebody's going to, you know, want something from you, and you're not going to have anything. You're not going to know what you have to trade.
Well, I don't trade them. I hoard them.
All right. Well, Todd and I were talking about the cool shows that we've been working together on every month at the Nighthawk Cinema in Brooklyn.
Those are really cool. Can we get back to Rollerblade 7?
Yeah.
I don't know why I wasn't called before, because I would have been all over that.
All right. Well, Todd was... I've never seen it. I've seen Rollerblade. The previous one, Todd was friends with the filmmaker, and he tried to watch the film and couldn't. Todd, you explain it. What am I, your lawyer? Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, Don Jackson was a great guy, and I became friends with him before he passed away, and we, you know, we went back and forth a few times, and we used to, back in the old days when AOL was new, like around 2.0 and stuff, and you could instant message your friends. It was so cool because we would sit there for hours talking back and forth, and we had a great time. But the thing with Don was, you know, he decided he was going to do stream of consciousness, free thinking kind of bizarre movies there toward the end, and he decided to get together with Julie Strain, and they made Warrior Blade 7. I still have no idea what the hell that movie's about. I watched it, and I just it was so incomprehensible to me. I mean, there were some things that would kind of flow, and then all of a sudden it would go into something that wasn't even... I mean, it would be daytime, nighttime, over here. How can Julie Strain be there and there at the same time? It didn't matter. It was stream of consciousness. So that's kind of what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, but I think that's kind of the charm of those movies.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I loved all of his stuff, don't get me wrong, and I loved Hell Comes to Frogtown, Demon Lover. You know, I really, really thought he had... a way of doing things that was kind of had a lot of energy, even though some of the acting was terrible or whatever, the effects weren't up there. Didn't matter because he had this energy and he loved making movies, and you could tell.
Yeah, they're totally entertaining like the whole way through. That's the thing with a lot of these movies is that, you know, it's great concept, or you know, they have like a, you know, a really wild actor that you love or something like that, but they just can't. You're not entertained. You lose interest. But I mean, Rollerblade and his movies are just, I mean, they're insane, man. They're just totally, you get involved in it, and they're assaulting your eyes, and the overdubbing in them are just like, you know, usually you're put off by that, but you're loving every minute of it. You know, he just knew how to do something, how to do with what he had. You know
exactly
what I mean? Yeah, and, you know, I could just say right now that I'm going to be hosting a screening of Rollerblade coming up at the Spectacle Theater in Brooklyn on October 14th for my birthday. That's how much I love Rollerblade.
Oh, Rollerblade, yeah, that's a classic.
The later ones get a little... The later ones, you're right. But they're all kind of like intertwined. They're all in that universe of weirdness.
I love them. I thought Rollerblade was a classic, and then I liked the second one, but then by the time I got to the third one, I was going, where the heck are we? I don't even know what's going on. There was a nun with a weird hat, looked like a KKK member. I didn't know what was going on.
Well, how many more were there? There's a few more, too, because there's, like, Legend of the Rollerblade 7 and, like...
Yeah, those are the ones that were way out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
but
did you have
Rollerblade
to go...
Warriors is a little insane, too. They all go downhill, but,
Rollerblade movie went downhill. That's funny. Todd, did you have to like watch these and then go back to him and be like, oh yeah, man, I thought it was awesome, dude?
I was always straight with him. I said, because we were friends, and I told him, I said, I love Rollerblade Warriors. You're not going to probably top that in my mind. I just love it so much, and I liked the second one. And then I was watching the third one, and I was like, dude, I have no idea what the heck that movie was about. And he says, it's whatever you want it to be about. That was his answer, because that's what he really believed. That's what he wanted it to be.
Well, it's a shame he's not making movies.
I know. I really do miss him. He was a heck of a guy. He was just a really fun guy. Grab his 60mm camera, go out on the street, and just start making a movie. That's what he did. I mean, he literally would have like a meeting. They'd go out and start shooting. It didn't. I mean, they may or may not have a script. He just wanted to do these things. He wanted to create. I think there toward the end, he was even more. He had more of a desire, more of a drive to create, because he really wanted to leave behind a legacy of film, and I think he's done that.
There's one that I'm looking for by him called Roller Gator. Have you ever seen that? I've never seen it. I don't. I think it was only released in a 4-pack cheapy DVD thing that probably went out of print immediately.
Wow!
But I don't think any tape release ever. But you know, it's got a picture of a girl. Roller kind of skateboarding on a gator with wheels.
Yeah,
that's all I know.
Yeah, yeah, it's very bizarre. I didn't think it ever got a legitimate release. Yeah.
It's almost like you're making that up, but no, it's true.
No. And what's the obsession with the wheels, the rollerblades? The skates.
I don't know. He seemed to like it.
Now, something I was also thinking about earlier is, did the movie Rollerblade predate the invention of actual rollerblades? Because they're all wearing roller skates.
He coined the phrase that the sports equipment industry stole.
You never know.
It could be true. You know, I have a VHS called Gator Face. I know that's not related.
No. Neither is Gator Beige.
No, I know, but Gator Face. I thought that was. Didn't one of his VHS just go for a lot of money? Was that Donald Jackson?
No, you're thinking of the Demon Queen, probably.
Demon Queen. I'm thinking of Demon Lover. Demon Lover is a Donald Jackson.
Yeah.
Demon Queen.
Yeah.
You know, Todd and I were talking about, I kind of said we're going to dedicate the show to VHS, and Todd and I always start off, I always start the show talking about his movies, and all his stuff is out on VHS, of course. He said that he's been collecting as well for years, and in storage somewhere he has how many tapes? 3,500, Todd?
Yeah, I got way too many tapes, man.
It's just stored away, like all the original big boxes. He was just buying stuff out of stores when Blockbuster was taking over the mom and pop. So one day, Matt and I are going to get our ski masks and head our way over to you.
Man, hey, anytime you're nearby, you go to St. Louis or anything, you let me know, man. I'll have you come over to the garage. We'll spend a whole afternoon in there, and you guys will be taking out a truckload of stuff.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I think you just...
I think Matt just... Matt, are you there?
He's already on the way.
Matt's tingling all over, man.
That's right, dude. You got to have that car pulling out sound effect.
Yeah. It's not going to be that kind of show, damn it.
Well, there's only a few I want to keep, like the Secrets of Sweet 16 and stuff like that. They've never did a legitimate good release of that, so stuff like that I hang on to, but... You know,
I mean, when's the last time you looked at your collection, Todd? Like,
well, the problem was I just ran out of room. I've also got, like, you know, 400 laser discs I've still got. And I got so much stuff. Hell, who has the room for all this? Plus yeah. Blu-rays, plus DVDs, plus toys. Like, man, I ran out of room. So my thing was, it's been a while, you know.
Yeah, you know, Matt is, I don't know if you've ever heard of, here in New York, Todd, there's a famous store called Forbidden Planet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Matt, if you want to tell us, Matt, what you do there and talk about you a little bit.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I'm a manager and a buyer for Forbidden Planet. And it's a legendary store. We just hit our 30th anniversary, which is really awesome. You know, considering that in Union Square, there's been big businesses like Virgin Megastore and Best Buy that have popped up and disappeared in the 30 years that we've been open and still doing it. But, you know, it really is just a way to, you know, relive my childhood. You know, I went there as a kid, and now I've worked there as a quote-unquote adult.
Like every day, over and over again.
Yeah, it's like at Comic-Con forever. It's great. I love going in and just, like, rapping with people about comics and toys and movies and stuff. You meet the most interesting people. You know, it's just like... Yeah, you know, a crazy homeless guy who actually has a lot of knowledge about weird stuff you can talk to, and then the next day Robin Williams walks in and you're rapping with him about stuff. You know, it's just one of the weirdest kind of positions I've ever been in, but I kind of really love it.
That store is a magnet. It's always been for just everyone, even with a passing interest in the stuff that we're into, any genre stuff, comic books, toys, across the board, man. It's just, you know, it's a one-of-a-kind place, and I'm so glad it's still there, because so many great places like, you know, Kim's Video, See Here Books, the Psychotronic Store, you know, the stores that we all kind of frequented in that realm just don't exist anymore, or exist on such a small scale, they don't even blip.
Well, I mean, I tell you, man, it's not easy. We're definitely fighting, you know. I mean...
Yeah, I'm sure you're fighting the fanboys, because they're annoying, but...
we do every... You know, we expand, and you can't just make money off of comic books anymore, you know what right. I mean? And it's, you know, it's sad to say, and how the industry is going with digital downloading, and even the bootlegging and stealing through the internet and stuff like that, but that's, you know, it affects every industry, obviously. You know, this whole computer thing has really killed us, but that does me kind of being anti-technology.
That's why we had to call you, and we can't Skype you.
I know, right? I'm on the telephone, right?
He's on a rotary phone.
Interview, actually.
This guy's on a rotary... Todd, you know, we have to put this one up in the archives for sure. I mean, this guy's on a rotary phone.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah, I can only walk so far because I've got the curly wire and everything.
That is awesome.
It's kind of like you've not only embraced VHS, but every other outdated form of communication and media.
Well, I think it's not that I embrace the old, it's that I just never embrace the new.
There you go.
Yeah, I just I never had interest in it, in moving on, I guess. I'm stuck in my way.
So other than comic books, what I'm curious about how Forbidden Planet is, without giving away, you know, any insider information, I would think that fans, you know, everyone talks about economy, recession, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Is there fans just aren't opening the wallet and spending money?
Well, I think it's different now. Entertainment is one of those kind of things where people, even in that economy, people always spend money on escapism.
Exactly.
But I think predominantly once where our money would come from comic books, it doesn't really. And now it's coming from more of the other stuff. Graphic novels, that's a whole, in trade paperback collections of comics, that's a whole kind of new thing. I mean, comics have been out three times as long as that stuff has been out, and that's a lot of where the market is now, not in the collectible aspect of, you know, marking up your old back issues, but just selling tons of old stuff in modern printings of it.
So you think
I
was going to say, you see that the spending is not only in that, but maybe statues, toys, things that are more that are not downloadable. I could go download every Batman comic, made, Todd, right? I mean, I can go tonight and
Very frustrating for me. As a matter of fact, I talked with Michael Usel, and the only good thing is some of these cool digital comics now have like multiple things where you can flip through there and look at the original art before it was corrected. You can look at the pencil drawings. You can get like sound effects and music. Sometimes the artists and the writers will be on there doing commentary, which is cool. All that stuff is cool, but my problem is I still like holding the paper and smelling that paper and feeling it in my fingers, man.
Nothing beats that, man. That's the collector's mentality of the physical media.
There are like 3-year-olds right now who are not going to even know what we're talking about if they ever listen to this archive. They're going to be like, hold paper? Comic book? I'm not going to hold a comic book.
The hell is a comic? I get it. You wouldn't believe it. At least once a week people come in and say, they still make these things?
Wow.
Yeah. But, as I said, the comic, it's not really the comic books. It's the statues, the toys, and the T-shirts. All that type of stuff. That's really where everything is, man.
What about movies, DVDs?
DVDs and movies, man, of course.
Stuff move?
It does move, but you can't... But a story like Forbidden Planet, it's not like we're selling the newest, I don't even know what's the newest mainstream romantic comedy or something like that. We have to get deep cuts, the stuff on the fringe, the stuff that you could only get at a place like Forbidden Planet, kind of like your stuff, Rob, the Wild Eye releasing stuff,
That's right, Forbidden Planet.
I don't think you can walk into Best Buy and get that stuff.
You cannot, thankfully.
Yeah,
that's right.
You can walk into Forbidden Planet and get it.
You can get it. And you are also carrying a limited edition set of Wild Eye VHS tapes.
That's true, we are. That's right. I mean, there's those...
Unless they've all sold. I mean, they had to have all sold by now. Come on, man.
I haven't checked the numbers, man. But I got to tell you, I think the best thing selling is obviously the one thing I have noticed selling the best, though, is the Night of the Living Dead Reanimated, of course.
Oh, wow,
that is the one that is moving the fastest.
That always moves. I mean, people are gravitated to that title, whether they like it or not, because it's a very experimental film. But, yes, people just gravitate to it. I mean, it's the name, and it's like, most people who are into horror or into comics, there's a crossover point, and for Night of the Living Dead to be that crossover point is a really cool and different thing for people. It's not like, oh, it's an animated Hulk DVD, or it's something that you're just so familiar with. You're like, what? Yeah, so that's cool, man. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, man, definitely. But cool. Yeah, I mean, we're not carrying a lot of the mainstream stuff. Of course, we're carrying the mainstream superhero movies, and we're expected to, and that's all fun. But other than that, we get the weird stuff, and that's what drives people in as far as the DVDs. And VHS.
Yeah, and now, do you carry The Basement?
Yeah, of course.
We had on the... Last show we did, 42nd Street Pete came on and gave us a report from Cinema Wasteland. He said everyone was walking around with those Basement VHS tapes. He said somebody had them there and was selling them, and they were selling like hotcakes, and there were a ton of people with VHS up there. I guess it was Louis Justin, 555, he was selling those up there.
Yeah, I missed it, man. I'm so bummed on that.
Yeah, me too.
He did a pre-order, and I missed that, and then I couldn't make it out to Wasteland because it just wasn't in my time frame for this. I just didn't get out there right now. But all the people in the VHS kind of community that I keep in touch with, I'm seeing all their hauls and getting very jealous, dude.
Well, I think it's safe to say VHS is it's coming of age again. I mean, it's still in the beginning. We were talking with Todd earlier. It's really in the beginning stage. It's a kind of figure it out as you go along. I mean, we're doing this show. People are showing up. It's successful. People are into this, and it's still putting putting trying to figure it out is like, well, why are they coming? Are they coming to trade? Are they coming to watch the stuff? Like, we're still trying to figure out what the appeal is overall, other than, hey, it's a cool event. Yeah, that's fine. We're showing a cheesy movie or an old horror movie, or you get trailers, you get a show. But what is it, you know, what is it about the boxes? What is the, you know, and maybe there is no answer, but I always try to figure out what's the psychology behind collecting VHS. Maybe you can.
For different people, dude.
Well, what is it for you then? Let's start with you. What is the psychology of going out there hunting stuff down? Because I have my own philosophy too. Yeah.
What makes me do it? Well, I've always, you know, as I said, I've always collected VHS. And I remember getting the VHS when they were brand new, and forget it. My very first VHS story is going into the video store the day that UHF, the Weird Al movie, came out on DVD. I mean, not DVD, VHS. Jesus Christ! Edit that out.
You've been brainwashed.
I know, seriously. So I walk into the video store, and the UHF came out in 89. I had to be 9 years old, 8 years old, something like that. And I was like, I want to buy UHF. Weird Al's my favorite. And they were like $80. And I was like, I think I'll rent it. You know?
Yeah.
It's just, but I think it's nostalgia is a lot of the reason that drive a lot of people in it, like going to video stores and remembering that. But I mean, I worked in a video store for a very long time, like in the late 90s, up into the early 2000s, right in the kind of weird crossover of, you know, the DVDs coming out and people kind of disregarding the VHS. But there was, at that point, there was still so much that I loved that was only on VHS. And it still is, but I mean, nowadays there's, nowadays, you know, you can get, you know, Frankenhooker on DVD and Monster Squad and a lot of these kind of, you know, higher end B-movies.
I remember the UHF tape going for a lot of money on eBay in like 1999, 2000.
Oh, yeah, that's
one. That was like an $800 tape.
How much?
That was like a $100 tape back then. People were paying a lot of money. Anytime that went up for auction, that went for a lot of money. I remember that because I wanted it forever, and I found one somewhere for like $2, and I was like, oh, yes, I got it. Yeah. You know, like that. That was just such a sought after. There were a few that went up pretty high, not as high as they're going today. You know, for me, it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of a backlash. I'm so happy that there are people embracing it because I remember when DVDs first started to hit, people looking at me like I was an idiot. You know, people just saying, oh, get rid of that. You know, just transfer that stuff and get rid of it. Why would you want that? I'm like, look at these beautiful boxes.
Yeah.
Look at the stuff that, you know, everyone swore. Like, I don't think... If you weren't, I don't want to say in the industry, but if you weren't really paying attention to the industry and really hanging around with a lot of fans, you didn't understand how DVD was like a fever for everyone. It was like this kind of psychosis of people like, oh, everything's going to be on DVD. Oh, they're coming out with everything because certain companies were going out of their way to find obscure stuff. They were running out of stuff to put out because the stuff was selling, and they just kept replenishing it, and kept getting more and more obscure. But at some point, the sales stopped. Best Buy stopped taking stuff from, you know, smaller labels like Shriek Show or, you know, people that were putting out Italian horror stuff or cannibal movies. They stopped taking it in the mainstream because the numbers just weren't there, I guess. So
again, with the internet and the Netflix and all
that too. Yeah, that was part of it. But I mean, Netflix stopped taking that stuff. You know, Netflix, when they started, wanted to have every movie on earth in their collection. You know, they wanted to carry everything. They would take anything. You find some of the older stuff on Netflix. It's like stuff people made, you know, out of their homes. It wasn't you know, all mainstream product. Then they stopped doing it after a while. Now it's very hard to get into Netflix. You know, you have to almost, you know, prove to them that it's worth their time. You have to have a certain amount of people kind of put it in their queue before it even exists in their system.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even the streaming and all that stuff.
Oh, streaming is even harder. I mean, there's only a certain percentage of stuff that is streamed on Netflix. You know, you can go look for, what did I look for the other day? Adjustment Bureau, that Matt Damon, Philip K. Dick movie. It's not streaming on Netflix, but you can rent a DVD from them. But you know, they determine what's, you know, and it was just a matter of time before this happened. You know, they figured out their business model, and it's like, oh well, 50,000 people rented Iron Man 2 you know, this week, so I know we'll order this amount of copies for Iron Man 3 when it comes out or whatever. You know, it's all, they're not taking a chance, especially on independent films and horror films. You know, but you will find older stuff in there. You know, but the getting in now, they might take 20, 30 copies of something. You know, yeah. if you're somebody of my level, like a wild eye, that's you know, basically a micro level. It's not, you know, they're not going to take hundreds of copies from us. They're going to take.
So, are you saying that Netflix does carry your stuff?
Some of our stuff's on Netflix, and some of it's not. You know, that it goes title by title. It's like if you add, you know, and you can't ask Netflix directly. They don't want to deal with filmmakers directly. You have to go through a distributor. You have to have representation. So when you know, people that represent my titles go in there and they say, hey, well, what about Goth Kill? You know, they say, well, not enough people have showed interest in it, so we're not going to take any right now. You know, even if, you know, the filmmaker's gone out there and asked everyone to put it in their queue and blah, 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 et cetera, tried to get interest in it. It's just, you know, they have to hit a number. It's all based, you know, it's all like algorithms. It's like, you know, it's not like somebody sitting there saying, oh, well, it looks like 100 people like Goth Kill. Let's try a couple copies and see what happens. It's like the computer blips, you know, when it hits the algorithm right. You know, it's like, okay, there's a certain percentage of people who might have liked this, like this. And, you know, but it's like, you know, it's all, you know, it's an automated system, you know, and it takes
obviously missing out, dude.
Yeah, well, it takes they're missing out on Goth Kill, that's for sure.
I mean,
they're missing out on tons.
I'm not championing Goth Kill at all here, but come on, if you're some kid and you're flipping through your streaming and you see Goth Kill, you're not going to play that.
Yeah, that's. You know? I mean, you know, if you're at a certain age and of a certain temperament, you're going to rent that, even if you hate it, you're going to rent it. I mean, that's the same reason we tried to get that into Hot Topic stores, and at that time, that's a no brainer, right? But they were like, we're really moving away from DVDs right now. That was their. Yeah. That was their opinion, and they moved away from DVDs because DVDs just dried up, you know. And I don't, you can blame it on Netflix, you can blame it on torrents, whatever. I mean, people still buy DVDs.
I blame it on the cost of these DVDs at places like Hot Topic, where they're $24.99.
That's just ridiculous, you know. If you know the numbers, and it is fairly inexpensive to make DVDs. And I mean the actual replication and manufacturing of them, if it's done in a certain quantity and if you find the right place to do it. There are also filmmakers who go out there and use certain places that charge them $7, $8 per DVD to make their movie, and the filmmakers get ripped off time and time again. But with a little bit of research, you can find a reasonable way to put out movies. You know, but you know, the production's in not only making the movie, but in the authoring and any extras you want to put on. It's a lot of time and video work getting the right cover. So it's an investment, you know, for you to even try to, you know, go to get some kind of distribution or go to something like a Hot Topic or get there somehow and get in front of them. There's a lot of factors working against you if you're going to do this.
Well, yeah, I mean, that blows my mind, especially, I mean, the prices on the DVDs, you're right, man.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about. I you know, I'm sorry, guys, I ranted for a second there. I just got caught.
No, don't worry, we're not even talking about what we were originally talking about anyway.
I know. Let's talk about DVD. Screw DVD. Let's talk about VHS. Todd, we want your VHS collection. We know you have gems in there. Matt, what's your most prized VHS?
Personally, the most prized one I have. I was going to say. I mean, we already talked a little bit, but I actually have a sealed UHS.
That is the one on the. That's on the top shelf. You know, that has the lights hitting it. The little.
Yeah, it's because of the personal, you know, wanting that as a kid and then finally getting one. I mean, anybody asks me that's like, what's your favorite or your prizing? I say, oh, that sealed UHF tape. I mean, but you know, I have some others that are a lot more kind of like, you know, genre rare stuff that I really like to show off, you know, like The Tales from the Quad Dead Zone, 555. I have Multiple Maniacs signed by John Waters. I have a copy of Terror of the Doll signed by Karen Black. And it's usually the ones that I bring to these places and get signed that I always like to show off too, because it's like, you know, I've been doing a lot of those things. I got it, you know, a teenager, and I was like, you know, just sweating, going up to these people and being like, and even back then they'd be like, VHS. I mean, those are a couple of my favorites and a couple of my prize tapes, definitely. But that UHF with the sealed, I mean, people look at me like I'm crazy when I bust that one out, but it means so much to me, man.
So do you think that's, I mean, you know, we talked about earlier are kind of psychology or philosophy, but mine is I like the I think where we got on the DVD rant is that I had said I like that it's kind of like the anti fanboy DVD mentality that happened where, oh God, that's missing 1 second of footage, blah, blah. I love that. It's this raw, ugly, ratty print on this VHS tape, and yeah, we're going to watch it. You know, and that's what I love about doing stuff at the theater, working with you and with VHS Vault and John and everybody with your team, who we have to talk about before we run out of time, is Horror Boobs. Okay. Can we say boobs on the air, Todd?
You can.
Matt is part of this collective of VHS maniacs called Horror Boobs, and we need to talk about that right now. Matt, set the whole thing up. Tell us what you do.
No problem. Yeah, Horror Boobs is a website, www.horrorboobs.com, and we frequently post the nude scenes from horror movies, predominantly stuff that's ripped straight from VHS. And then we get still shots and put them up there. It's that simple. We don't want to have information. A lot of the times we don't even put the names of the movie or the year or the actress. It's literally an assault on your eyes of naked women shots from horror movies. And other kinds of media, you know, comics and stuff like that, but all in the horror genre. But really, you know, that's the site. But we also kind of really love VHS, and that's where the VHS thing comes in. We'll also post videos of our VHS hauls on there. And it's a group of us. It's me. It's my girlfriend, Katrina, who does all the web stuff because, as I said, I'm not a computer or technology person. So I pretty much was just like, yeah, I'm into doing a website, and here's my credit card, and you set it up, babe. So, and I'll just tell you, you know, I'll tell you my favorite boob scene. And then we brought on a couple other people, like my buddy Chai, who's just a maniac. He's a big VHS collector, VHS lover. Jeff, who's a great friend of mine, who does a lot of our, you know, when we do the live events, he's our technician. And Amanda, of course, who is a big part of it, and she runs our emailing list and has a lot of great ideas. And we ran into you guys somehow. Amanda ran into John, who was friends with Bob, and they were setting up this VHS thing, and, you know, we were talking about how, I guess Amanda said, we're big VHS people, and we're doing this website that's kind of VHS-centric, and it all kind of fell into place. We all had a little meeting, and we all just became best friends over VHS, which is totally awesome.
I don't even think the site, and I erroneously called you guys the Horror Boobs on the first show, and I still feel bad about the Horror Boobs. It's just
Horror
Boobs.
Well, it's a bunch
of us. Yeah, but you're not the boobs. You're not the boobs. Horror Boobs is the program. So
you're
anyway,
right, you're
but,
right.
But what really was so impressive about you guys, and John and I were just floored the first show, is that you come in and put on a show. You don't come in and say, oh, here's some boobs in a movie, a horror movie. You come in and do a game show, put together trailer clips. You and Amanda have worked very hard editing together tons of footage for these shows, including trailers, oddball clips, weirdo contestant game shows. But not only that, you've done it from VHS to VHS. There's no digital involved here. Everything's done in a purist fashion. And I think that's something that no one ever talks about. But I try to mention at the shows is that everything has been painstakingly done by hand, so to speak, or as by hand as it can be, VCR to VCR. So tell us why. Why do you do that? People are going to say, well, that's foolish. You know, you could cheat it. You could save yourself time.
I mean, it's simple. It's all I know. I don't have a computer. I've never learned those fancy technical ways of doing it. And, you know, I've been doing this. I do this for fun, and now I have a place to show it off. You know what I mean? We sit around the house and play trivia games like this. And, you know, I would cut together these things just to show people and send the tapes to my friends and, you know, just to show it off. I mean, they're not burnt down and then on YouTube and you can click and see them and thousands of people see them, you know, a handful of my close friends see them, but I've just been, you know, it's just the way I've been doing it forever.
What are the best boobs in a horror movie ever?
The best boobs in a horror movie ever. You know, ooh, that's so hard, man. He was like picking children, my favorites. But I don't know.
Off the top of your head, first one you think of. That's why I tried to get something.
Mausoleum.
There you go. Okay, that's all we need to know.
Mausoleum, Bobby Breeze, with her all monster boobs and her breasts physically turn into two monster faces. That's definitely one of the best. That is like the epitome of horror boobs.
I agree.
They are monsters. You know,
they are horror.
I love that, and I also really like the witch tits in Highway to Hell, when the chick turns into the monster and those tits are
No one ever talks about that movie, man. I rented that when it came out. I was like, wow, I was totally surprised by that movie. No one ever talks about that movie. I'm glad you brought it up.
No, I love that, man.
It's it's an underappreciated little
Jerry Stiller in that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what the hell?
Todd, are you still with us?
I am.
Todd, can the three of us make a pact right now? It's a weird pact, but we're going to do it because I think we're all VHS brothers. Your next film, or one of your next films, will you let Matt edit it VCR to VCR for you? No digital, no BS, man.
I got to tell you, I did that on every movie I made up to Zombie Bloodbath. Even Zombie Bloodbath was originally edited between two SVHS VCRs.
How do you stop the lines and all the
flying erase heads, my friend? Flying erase heads.
What are those?
Yeah, that's you have to get you it. Now, VHSs came that way too, but it was harder to find a VHS than it was an SVHS. But high-end VHSs had flying erase heads, so anytime you make an edit, you don't get rainbows. It's seamless. And you can also dub in the audio. So you could, in essence, do your hi-fi channels for the voices and sound effects and all that, and then go back and put your music. You can audio dub into the linear channels on a VHS tape. So you have a total of four channels there to play with.
No habla, man. What is this guy talking about, Matt?
I don't know. You'll have to show us when we come in, raid your
I'll do it.
I know there's a yellow wire, a red wire, and a white wire. That's what I know about dubbing.
Yeah, I don't even know about that. There's just one wire that goes in the back, in and out.
What we've done three shows so far, and a fourth one coming up. You plugged a show you're doing, Matt, that's coming up. Is there anything else you've got coming up?
I mean, definitely, yeah, we got the Rollerblade show coming on the 14th, Spectacle. We're doing the show with the Nighthawk on the 27th, VHS Possessed. I'm also...
VHS Possessed, I haven't even talked about that yet. VHS Possessed, with a showing from VHS, of course, of The Turkish Exorcist. If you've never seen it.
Oh, my God.
If you're in the New York area, come out to the Nighthawk, nighthawkcinema.com. Do you have information about the shows up on your website, Matt? They can go to your site to find out about the VHS.
Not yet. I just got the poster today.
No, about any of the shows. Do you post it?
Yeah, definitely go check it. Yeah, we always post about it on the website, and you can sign up for the mailing list on the website. And we frequently send out mailers to people just telling them about not only the stuff we do, but the stuff we like. You know, like, we will definitely plug the upcoming Wild Eye shows because it's stuff that we're into.
Definitely. Thank you. Oh, yeah, and I have on the 15th, my birthday. Your birthday is a day before mine. I'm doing a small little show at a goth industrial club called QXTs in Newark, New Jersey. It's a Walking Dead kind of pre-premiere party. It's Walking Dead's premiering the next night. We're going to do zombie trailers and a zombie movie in the basement. And I'll let whoever wants to show up to find out what the zombie movie is. It's not one of Wild Eye's movies. This is just a fun event for my birthday.
Top Secret, the movie, hey?
Top Secret? Oh, I love that movie, yeah. We're going to play that. Do you have that on VHS? I'll play it off of VHS. But I'm playing it off of DVD. I am playing the stuff off DVD. I'm not. It's not a VHS show. If you want a VHS show, you have to go to the Nighthawk in Brooklyn. You can't get that anywhere. But there are a bunch of other people doing really cool stuff with VHS all over the city, and it's great to see this resurgence. It's great to see, you know, that we teamed up on this and that we're
Who? Tell me about them, because I don't know. I thought it was really
you've been involved in some of them. Who's doing? Didn't somebody? You were just involved in a kind of group VHS show where you bring your own tapes.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, you tell me. I'm reading stuff.
I guess you're right.
Tape.
I mean, yeah. But I think we're the ones that were really like, I mean, because there's not, that was really cool, and they were doing this thing, the trailer show at the 92Y, and that's really cool. I think they're going to continue to do them. I guess you're right, man. There's more little places popping up. But, I mean, I would love to see more places that actually would screen from the VHS. They were nice at 92Y. They set up the VCR and let us do it, but most places wouldn't do that. Nighthawk is nice enough to have that VCR for us.
Yeah, and people are bringing milk crates full of VHS tapes and trading with each other and then leaving and not even watching the show. So it's a real nice culture that's developed.
That guys like, you know, you and, you know, some of the other people I've met doing this, like Josh from Lunch Meat, and, you know, that's how I've always been. It's like, hey, you want this and I have two of it? That's for you, man. You got to
take
it. How could you? Yeah.
Take it.
It's not about things like selling Oasis of the Zombies on eBay for $350, which just happened.
Oh, did it really?
Big box, $350.
You know what's funny? I'm looking at here in the Movies Hate You compound, on the wall, framed in glass, is my Oasis of the Zombies on Wizard Video, signed by Jess Franco. And that no one will ever get that on eBay or otherwise. I think I want you to come back again. We're Movies Hate You has run out of time, unfortunately. I'm gonna, you know, wrap it up. But I am really glad that you came on here, Matt Desiderio.
All right, Rob,
I'm glad you came on.
Anytime, dude.
I want you back. We'll have you back just to chat and talk more VHS stuff, because this is just, you know, developing, and there's more stuff to talk about every week
as
we
collect
more and do more shows and stuff. And really have been enjoying working with you. I look forward to working with you a lot more, man. And thank you for your time tonight.
You got it, dude. Anytime. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. Both of you, of course.
Thank you. I take PayPal, Todd. All right, so this guys. Good night, man. Thank you. That was great. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Matt, for coming on. Matt, whatever your last name is, from horrorboobs.com. Check them out. Check out our VHS shows at nighthawkcinema.com or horrorboobs. And you're listening, or we're listening, to Movies Hate You, sponsored by bmovie.com. And we'll see you next time.
So beware her bites. Day after day, always eager to please. Well, just don't cross her path. Snap of a finger, she would fall to her knees. But you gotta beware her wrath.
Damn, that bitch is batshit crazy. Jumping on my junk, always trying to lay me. Out of control, she's batshit crazy. Can't stop playing the game she's playing. Black and blue, she's batshit crazy. Keep on dreaming, always trying to frame me. Give it up, you're batshit crazy. The answer is no, there is no maybe. Damn, that bitch is batshit crazy. Jumping on my junk, always